You're listening to a Bellingcat Discord server stage talk titled Mapping the Destruction of Cultural Heritage Sites in Gaza with the Bellingcat and Scripps News team. This week, we were joined on stage by Bellingcat researchers Jake Godin, Anik Musau, and Pooja Chowdhury, who all worked with Scripps News on research into the destruction of cultural and religious sites in Gaza. During the talk, we spoke about the difficulty of accessing satellite imagery in the area, the abundance of destruction and demolition videos posted by IDF members on social media, and the importance of covering the damage of these sites within conflicts. You can find all the links mentioned in the talk in the description of this podcast. The talk was hosted by me, Charlotte Ma, on the 3rd of July, 2024. Thank you so much to everyone who's here. Welcome all to this week's Bellingcat Stage Talk. This time we're joined by my wonderful colleagues, Jake Godin, Anik Musau, and Pooja Chowdhury, to talk about our latest partnership with Scripps News, a long ongoing partner and Jake's former employer, actually. We produced a documentary based on Bellingcat and Scripps News research into the destruction and demolition of cultural heritage sites in Gaza recently. Using satellite imagery and open source video and photos, the team worked for months to locate, chronolocate, and confirm attacks or control demolitions on cultural areas of interest. All in all, the team found 100 mosques that were damaged or destroyed and 21 cemeteries amongst other historical and religious sites. You can watch the full short film on the Scripps News YouTube channel and find it on the Bellingcat website. I'll link to the video in the comments here, in the chat here in a second, and in the description of this podcast if you're listening back. Today, our team is going to speak on their research, provide insight into their processes, and discuss the wider impact of looking at heritage sites during a conflict. As we talk, please put your questions in the chat, as I mentioned earlier, and I'll ask them as we move into the Q&A section. But first, Jake, I'll hand over to you so you can give us a little synopsis of what you've been up to.
We'd been working on this research for a few months. We looked at satellite imagery. We looked at other, like, available to us through Planet, but then also Sentinel, and then open source videos posted on social media or shared on YouTube, photos or videos showing what we could infer was damage to sites considered cultural heritage sites within Gaza. And this is since October 7th. And so we started building a spreadsheet on this to kind of collect our data. And the spreadsheet was fairly straightforward. It was the number of the incident, the name of the site, and geolocation of the site, and then any imagery from before to show what the site looked like before October 7th, and then imagery from after showing any damage that we found that the site taken. And sometimes we couldn't find imagery on the ground showing damage to the site, but you could pretty clearly see that in Skysat imagery that Planet Labs made available, see that the site was damaged, whether it was by airstrike or bulldozed, or, you know, it was missing, it had holes in its roof that weren't there in the previous imagery. A really helpful part of this was the fact that Planet Labs made available Skysat imagery for researchers and journalists over Gaza specifically since October 7th. So we were able to look through decently high quality satellite imagery in order to keep track of these sites and look at them over time to determine whether or not, like, when exactly they may have been damaged. Because maybe on November 14th in the image, it wasn't. And then on November 15th, you could see that, oh, this site is now, the roof is collapsed or something. So we ended up with more than 150 sites in our list, and we included mosques as well, because many of the mosques are considered cultural heritage sites. Something that a lot of the interviews that we did, we spoke with people who kind of described mosques as not only being, like, historically important, but also, of course, as a religious site, important places for people to, like, part of just Palestinian culture for the people, you know, day-to-day lives, spending time there and celebrating events and whatnot. I also included cemeteries, so another facet of religious sites. That's something that became very apparent in satellite imagery as damage to those. And you could pretty clearly see that there would be either like clearing tracks from heavy machinery, most likely bulldozers, over some of the cemeteries, and it would match up with the movements of essentially the progression of the IDF forces throughout different parts of the Gaza Strip. But our list isn't comprehensive. There are a lot of cultural heritage sites in Gaza Strip, especially in the Old City. A lot of them are really difficult to tell just using satellite imagery, and then finding video of it is difficult as well because it's like a house that was built during the Ottoman era. Some of these houses are like on the UNESCO's damage assessment list, which was last updated in June and has 50 sites that they assessed to be damaged on it. A lot of the sites that we looked at are not on their list, and that's not even just including the mosques, which they include some mosques, which, you know, there's an overlap again. There's also been other reports from, we interviewed the Heritage for Peace Foundation, or the Dispersed Brain from Heritage for Peace, which is they were focused on Syria mainly in the past and looking at archaeological sites and cultural heritage sites that were destroyed there due to the civil war. But then they've also moved on to looking at other places, including Gaza. And they have a list that I believe has a few more than we had. And there have been other reports from Al Jazeera and I believe Channel 4 talking about 200 plus sites. So we just wanted to find the sites within our own, like the ones that we looked at through our spreadsheet, like we put in our spreadsheet and we could see that, yes, there was damage here. And so that's kind of how we ended up with our number. We had to stop at some point because we needed to actually get the piece out. So we kind of stopped doing the research and we considered, you know, continue doing interviews and then trying to make sure that we got the video. I think there were a lot of surprising finds. I mean, it's a little difficult just using purely satellite imagery. So that's where the like on the ground videos and photos came in to help. But there was some areas, one of the more surprising ones I'd say for me was the Rage Mosaic. It's a site that was uncovered in 2022 underneath an olive grove. This is in Barrage, which is central Gaza Strip, so like about halfway down, just south of the Wadi Gaza area. And there was an olive orchard that essentially the farmer there, he wondered why his olive trees weren't growing. And then he dug down and he found this just beautiful mosaic that just was essentially took up the whole orchard. And there's plenty of photos of it online. You just have to search Barrage Mosaic. And it's thought to be, you know, up to 1500 years old from the Byzantine era. And there wasn't really known where that site was, but you could geolocate it based off of satellite imagery or based off of the photos of the site that were taken as it was being excavated. And so we figured out the exact location and then we double checked that using satellite imagery, Maxar and Planet Labs, and you could actually see the site there. And for a while, it was relatively undisturbed. And then you could see in December, late December, that the Israeli military had started conducting operations in the area. And they cleared a lot of the orchards nearby. But they hadn't really, it was kind of difficult to see if there was any actual damage to the mosaic site itself. You could see that the orchards around it kind of looked like they were damaged, but there wasn't the full-scale clearing that we'd seen just, you know, 100 meters away. So we kind of thought maybe it was potentially undisturbed, or they saw that there was mosaic there and they just stopped. And so we had reached out to the IDF and asked them specifically about that site. They didn't get back to us on that specific question. They mostly focused their response to us on the damage to cemeteries. And so then June 10th, Planet released more SkySat imagery, especially over that area of Barrage, and the IDF had been conducting a new operation in that area. And then you could just see that everything was cleared over, even including everything over, like on top of the mosaic. So it's unknown what the status of the mosaic is. It at least had, you know, it has tracks over the site. So it's kind of hard to say just from the satellite imagery, but it appears that it may have been, you know, at least disturbed more than it was before. And so that was probably one of the more surprising findings, I think. There was just a lot of sites that have been damaged, destroyed, and especially, again, in Gaza's old city, which there's a really interesting, I'll link to it in the comments here, but it's a really interesting overview picture from the German military back in 1918 showing Gaza's old city and after British artillery bombardment. And you can see a lot of the city has been damaged, including the Al-Amari Mosque, which is another site that we included in our list and has had a lot of reporting on because it's a very old mosque in Gaza's old city and kind of like a central staple of that area. And you can see in the old 1918 imagery that there's massive holes in it and that it's been, it's been clearly damaged. And there's some on the ground photos of this as well. There's a really great New York Times piece that kind of covers the history of the mosque. But then, you know, you cover that, you compare that with current modern day satellite imagery of the mosques or of Gaza's old city as well. And you can see that not only is the Omari Mosque damaged in just about the same manner with a massive hole in the roof and stuff, but even more of the sites that are visible in that old imagery, like the Basha Palace, which is another really old museum, old like Ottoman structure that was turned into a museum, that has been more damaged than it was in this 1918 image. And as well as there's even a small like a fountain that is called the it's like an Ottoman era fountain that existed and was restored with the help of Turkey a few years ago. That's been completely destroyed. There's just a lot of destruction when you're looking at more like the damage now, especially after seeing the damage from back in 1918. But yeah, I think that's general the gist of. Of course, Anik and Pooja helped with this, and then Peter Barth, who is another researcher at Bellingcat, he was really helpful when it came to looking at archaeological tells, which are essentially historical mounds that exist throughout a lot of the Middle East, and there's quite a few of them in Gaza itself, and they've been damaged previously by the Gaza government due to building, and they've also now been damaged that we can see in the satellite imagery by essentially military activity. You can see that there's been a lot of bulldozing on top of them or clearing activity. So Peter did a lot of really good work on researching that, and then Lucy Swin and Carlos as well, who were very helpful in reporting on this.
Amazing. Thank you, Jake, for giving us a little bit of background to the research. Before we dig into specific parts of the research that you just explained, we had a bit of conversation about satellite services that you can use as a freelancer, because obviously a lot of the data that was used in this investigation came from satellites. Pooja, I noted that you said you'd used Sentinel, Planet, and Google Earth in this investigation. Is there anything, any other platforms that you'd recommend for people who are starting out in research and want to use satellite data to look into this kind of thing in terms of damage to cultural sites?
I think it's a good question, but it's a little difficult because it depends on the access. And I mean, the reason that we could do this was because of the fact that we had access to images from Planet, and also, Planet gave access to, like Jake said, to researchers and journalists of really high-res images. So that really helped. But I know that because I've had some friends who've, emailed Planet about getting access as students or as just, researchers. You don't get access to SkySat, but you do get access to the slightly like middle resolution images that can be useful to look at. You may not be able to look at, specific structures, but if it's something, if it's Gaza where the destruction is so large scale, you can still tell if an area has been cleared out, even if the images are not super high resolution. So, I mean, I understand that, if you're working as a freelancer, you may not have the resources, the money, or the access to completely replicate the work. But there, if I think Sentinel, correct me if I'm wrong, also has, I mean, you can access it. It's low resolution, but you can still access it. And it does give you, you would get like a broader overview of what's going on because, again, you can't look at specific structures, but you can look at large scale damages. So I'm sorry, I don't have a better answer for this, but what I do is, but I mean, for Gaza specifically, you know, these satellite companies, they gave access to a lot of imagery, but in a lot of cases, that's not true. So even like when we research on other regions, we also are, you know, in the same boat. With Gaza, we weren't, but there could be other regions that, you know, we have exactly the same access as a freelancer or just like researchers in general. So for that, I think one of the things that can be done is people post stuff on social media all the time, you know, images of damage and destruction. You could follow specific accounts that do that. And Google Earth is free. You know, you can use Google Earth or at least use it to geolocate where an incident may have happened. And that's what I think we do for other regions that, you know, may not be, where satellite images may not be super available. I did a recent story in Myanmar, and Myanmar has almost no satellite images available on like a planet. So, you know, I used Google Earth for that. So it's not that it can be done, it gets easier. But yeah, those are unfortunately the only tips I have.
Planet Labs, they've been great about helping people get access to their imagery and stuff. So, you know, if you're a researcher and you're working on this, I think it's worth at least trying to reach out and say, you know, I'm trying to look into damage to Gaza's agricultural sector. And, you know, maybe I could, you know, you're able to help out with this or something. And then other than that, Google Earth Pro, you know, Pro, of course, is excellent. It's just, it's a little bit limited in certain places. But we were just looking at it for another project in Ukraine. And so,
Of course, satellite images are very important, but also websites like Wikimapia. So with all these tools, we had like a list which would help us like focus on. We had the coordinates, and then dropping them into Wikimapia, it's pretty quickly to see if somebody tagged it as a mosque. Because again, sometimes, you know, it's straightforward. You see a minaret, you see the dome, but sometimes it's missing all of those elements. So then being able to look at the data from Wikimapia and then comparing it to the data that we have from Ollie. Okay, now we have several sources saying that this is a mosque. So now we're going to focus on, is there any damage? And then, again, of course, we couldn't have done it without the satellite imagery. But for me, I couldn't have done it without Wikimapia. As well. So that's, I think, also very important to mention.
And by Ollie's tool, you're referring to any?
It's his damage probability map from Ollie Ballinger, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. So definitely worth having a look at that tool because he did an amazing job with that.
Yeah, that's been super useful for us. And I also linked in the chat if you are new to satellite imagery, or need some guidance on how to use it, particularly looking into areas of conflict. Anit did a fantastic written guide on our website, but also a video guide on our YouTube as well, which I linked in the chat for using satellite imagery services to look at settlements in the West Bank. But those lessons are also replicable in the Gaza Strip as well. Easy Bake Oven has asked, were there any cases in which you could identify or narrow down what specifically caused the damage, such as vehicles driving over the sites or bombs?
So based off of the satellite imagery, yes, or based off of on-the-ground footage as well. I mean, in the case of a cemetery in near Gaza's Jabalia neighborhood in northern Gaza, there was clear evidence of like pushing, like dirt being moved aside and like kind of being piled up at the end. You could see that both in the satellite imagery and on the ground footage from people who were able to go to the area afterwards. So it you know, at that point you could say like, oh, it was a heavy machinery, potentially a bulldozer, or, you know, at least a heavy vehicle, like a tank or something that was able to drove into the cemetery, drove over the graves, pushed the dirt out of the way. In terms of munitions and stuff, I don't think we specifically looked into any cases that were where we're like trying to identify the munition that was used, but there's plenty of airstrike footage and like demolition footage that we were looking through, especially for mosques that involved, if it's a demo footage, I'm assuming it's the typical like tank mine that they use for everything else, but the airstrikes, yeah, we didn't really try to identify what specific munition was. I don't know about Pooja and Anik, if you guys recall any specific incidents.
Yeah, I mean, we found footage on social media platforms I can't remember which mosque it was, but it was, they're filming the mosques and you can pretty clearly see, and I'm sorry, but again, for me, everything that falls out of the sky and explodes, I call it a rocket. I'm sorry. I know Easy Bake Oven that you're an expert in munitions, so I apologize, but they're filming the mosque and you can literally see the rocket hitting the mosque and exploding it. Sometimes we had actual footage like that. Sometimes we had footage of soldiers posing in front of a mosque that got destroyed. So you could see the destruction, like Jake said, the bulldozers over the graveyards. And also on the better quality satellite images, huge craters just very close to the location that you're looking at.
Yeah, for the craters, you know, measuring it out on Google Earth or using QGIS, which is another mapping software that I use to look at the geotips, but it's called QGIS. But you can use a measurement tool to kind of get an idea of how large some of the craters are. And for the larger craters, you can assume that is, you know, could have been a 2,000-pound bomb or something. Because depending on the soil type and stuff, you can get an idea of how large the bomb was that was. And another thing on Wikimapia, which is super useful, as we were saying, I just want to give an example because Pooja and I were looking at a specific site. It was a museum and it was just a guy's house, but it was marked on Wikimapia as this museum that we were including. We wanted to, you know, to see if it was damaged and to include in our list because museums was another category that we were looking into. And Wikimapia had it as this just a circle because somebody just randomly, because anybody can edit Wikimapia. So somebody just wanted others to know that this museum existed here on the street. And so using that, we were able to essentially geolocate older footage of like RT and like other, like, you know, Al Jazeera, these reports from like 10 years ago when they went and visited this guy's house, showing off the museum and a collection of objects that he had. And then, you know, the Wikimapia kind of gave us the first hint. And then to verify it, we used the footage that we had available to us, as well as like Google Earth as well, to like double check with the geolocation. And then using the Skysat imagery, you could see that, oh yeah, the location was heavily damaged at least. You know, all the buildings around there were like either destroyed or damaged. So very useful.
Yeah, thank you. Wikimapia is really amazing, particularly when there's those name changes as well for areas as well, which can be a huge obstacle in places like Gaza. In regards to the content that you saw of the demolitions and of the destruction, was that content that was also used in the previous investigation that we did on alleged cases of domicide, or are these different social accounts that we came across of different soldiers than the 8219 unit that we were looking into in the previous investigation? And I'll link the previous investigation in the chat now.
So there was some overlap, I think, but a lot of the, not all of the 8219 demo videos were we use some, you know, obviously we were just looking at those for the previous investigation. There are other plenty of other demolition videos from either soldiers that we couldn't connect directly to the A219, so we didn't know if they were or not, or just, you know, they are part of a different engineering battalion or something. So I would say that we used just any videos that we saw of demolitions. And if it included a mosque and we could, you know, geolocate it and verify its location and stuff, then we were using that. So I think it was a broader scope than just 8219 stuff.
Yeah, also a lot of footage from the tank divisions who just had their GoPro set up somewhere. You see them aiming and just fully blasting at the mosque.
And just to confirm, when we contacted the IDF about this content, they didn't respond to the actual videos themselves, right? They only spoke to the cemeteries in their response.
We sent them the IDF, they gave us a similar response that they gave us for the actual, the A219 piece, which was that they expanded on it a little bit by talking about cemeteries specifically, saying that, but in general, they were saying that Hamas uses like civilian infrastructure as fighting positions, and they turn entire neighborhoods into, you know, terror networks, I think is maybe how they referenced it. And then they say that, like, you know, this requires the IDF to carefully, attack them in certain areas or something, like very like general like stuff, I guess, about like Hamas uses civilian infrastructure as terror infrastructure. So that's why this stuff is getting damaged. They said specifically about the cemeteries that they have no policy of specifically targeting cemeteries. I mean, CNN, Jeremy Diamond, I think is his name, did a really good report where he was able, a lot of times when reporters are able to go into Gaza, they have to be with the IDF. That's the only way that a Western reporter can get into Gaza for the most part. And he went in with the IDF into the Khan Yunis area, where there's a few of the cemeteries in Bani Suhaila, which is like just east of Khan Yunis. And that's where the IDF was located for a while with a lot of their vehicles. They dug a massive pit in the middle of the Bani Suhaila cemetery. And they came out with a statement later, I think in February, saying that they, you know, found this big tunnel network underneath it. And based off of my observations, using the graphics that they provided, it seemed like a lot of the tunnels were outside of the cemetery, although it seems like they indicated one tunnel shaft went underneath the cemetery. And I guess that explains why they dug this massive pit. And they didn't let Jeremy Diamond into that specific area either. They just showed him another set of tunnels, like rooms that were separate or like further away, or, you know, like adjacent to the cemetery, but not underneath it. He also asked about the IDF using cemeteries as bases, which the IDF denies doing. Although I will say, based off of satellite imagery, again, you can see that they, especially in the Bani Suhaila cemetery, they cleared out graves and then they just parked a bunch of heavy vehicles there for at least a week. So, you know, maybe it wasn't being used as a base, but it seems like it was being used as some sort of staging point for the, you know, armored vehicles. So it's, I don't know, it's, I think there's some disconnect between the statements that they give and then what we can actually see with the satellite imagery.
Yeah, I've put in the link into the chat to that CNN article. In terms of, just to clarify then before I ask a fantastic question back from our audience, in terms of our research, when we were looking into it, I thought one of the things that was most, it was really interesting, is that we actually found quite a few cases where the mosque or the site, the cultural site, was the only damaged thing within a certain radius. Can you explain a little bit about that process and how we kind of determined whether it was the only structure damaged in that area? And then also, did we have a look at any claims that IDF had about tunnels in particular sites? And did we check our list against those claims? How easy is it to verify those claims of tunnels in areas like mosques that the IDF helped to substantiate some of the damage caused?
I think if I can answer the second part first, I think what we also learned from the story that we did about the 8219 is it's the IDF's responsibility to prove why they destroyed a building, to prove that there indeed was some headquarters or... So yeah, there is footage of certain mosques being used where you can see them going into the mosque. You can see guns, RPGs, I don't know. So yeah, there is footage and a couple of them are on our list. But many, many others aren't without any justification on their side whatsoever. So yeah, that's for the second part of the question. And I don't know if Pooja or Jake want to answer the first part?
Right. So, before I answer that question specifically, I want to give, like, speak a bit about Ollie's tool because how useful it was. So when we started the investigation, we knew that we wanted to look at mosques. So Carlos, he downloaded a KML file of all the mosques. And what you can do is then, what KML files would have is polygons, and you can find the centroid of polygons, which would be the exact location. And then you can like convert it into a CSV and get a list of all the names of the mosques instead of looking it at a map, and you have it like in your Excel. So I think we had that, with which Logan overlaid with Ollie's destruction map, which could tell how much an area has been, how much of the mosque has been damaged. So we knew at least we had a starting point, right? That, you know, these are the ones that are damaged most. So we started looking at the ones that were above a certain threshold. So that was a good starting point. And whether or not a certain area was, or a certain structure was targeted or not, I mean, a very simple way to see is if the area around it looks as damaged as that structure. And also the way a certain structure can be damaged, if I'm going to say rocket again, like Anik, if it's dropped on a mosque and if the dome is like properly damaged, right, there's a crater, you know that it's probably just fell right at the mosque. In many, many cases, we saw that the area around it wasn't as damaged or was damaged over time, in the sense that you look at satellite imagery and that's the main structure that's damaged, and then the area may have been damaged later on. So that's a good tell that, you know, the one where is the crater present in the damaged site, and also the area around it, how it looks. That could tell you if a specific area has been targeted or not. Also, we had like footage, because I think the IDF was posting a lot of footage anyway of the damage that they are causing. So in a lot of cases, we were, I think Anik especially like did a lot of those where she, verified from just social media of IDF posting their own videos of the mosques that they have damaged. So that certainly is helpful to say that, okay, this area has been targeted. I don't know if Anik wants to add something.
No, you were spot on. Sometimes you see that there's only one building that's completely demolished. Sometimes you see, because we're clicking through the satellite footage, so you can see that there are craters that are like getting closer, neighborhoods close by also getting hit with rockets. And then at some point you see that a building block is destroyed where the mosque was also part of. So not as targeted, but again, sometimes you see like one building that's either completely gone or, like Pooja said, the dome that was broke, the minaret that was gone, tipped over. And then especially with the more prominent mosques, then it's really easy to go on social media, especially Instagram, and find reference material from before and after. And then because that was the main thing that I was searching for. But yeah, then you come across a lot of IDF accounts who are really proud sharing their posting in front of the mosque and sharing the pictures. So it's not really difficult to find. They're posting a lot about it.
Yeah, and that contextual information can be vital, as Sarah, our lovely mod, has written about the Kyle Bingaman Amendment, which is a US law that has made low quality satellite imagery around Gaza, which makes it much more difficult to check in that particular region as well. And that's still in effect as far as we know. In regards to questions from the audience, we had a fantastic one from Ratifract earlier that we haven't answered yet. So I just wanted to ask you. They said, and thank you so much for contributing a question, Ratifract, and it's great to see you here, especially as you're a new listener. They said, I'm curious about the story behind the investigation. What triggered the examination of cultural sites for damage? And what parts of the research were particularly interesting / personally rewarding, as opposed to cataloging of details and data?
So I think one of the main things that kind of sparked wanting to look into this was to, at least on when this, and this is also, this started on my end when I was still at Scripps, but there's a like a reporter, Bisan, who is inside Gaza, and she records videos and uploads them, lets people know what's going on in the various areas that she's been forced to move to. But before that, she had a series where she was looking at, I think, like cultural heritage in Gaza and kind of showing it off and seeing her take on when this Gaza City's municipality archive building was destroyed in a fire. A lot of records were there that were very old. And so kind of seeing that and thinking, well, maybe we should be looking at the damage to sites that are like this, that, and trying to record them, so at least we have a tally going. There was also a thread on Twitter from, I think, Eunice, who has posted a lot. And if you want to see into like IDF, like social media posting, he's the one to look at because he shares tons and tons and tons of videos from them. But in general, there was a thread, and it was on just sites in downtown Gaza City. That some of them were parks, and some of them were like monuments, and then some of them were the Gaza Cultural Heritage Center, and it was showing before and after imagery. And a similar post by Gaza City Municipality on Facebook did a similar thing where it showed these before and after photos. Like there's an area called Samaritan Baths, which are a really old set of I think it's like a public bath. And it's been there for a very long time. And that place was like kind of reduced to rubble. And so, again, seeing that thread and seeing this list, I was like, well, why don't we just start building out a list, a Google spreadsheet? And I mean, I think for me, the Barej mosaic was kind of a really important thing to show, because I wasn't really sure how damaged it was in the after the December imagery, because you could see that it was possibly damaged. And we didn't really get a good answer from the IDF on that, but I thought it was still kind of like, oh, we're just going to include this anyways. But then seeing how much the area had changed in the June 10th imagery and seeing how just everything in that area had been kind of wiped away, I just thought that was very important to show, because it was a very beautiful mosaic. And I think it's worth preserving, or worth at least bringing it up as like bringing attention to it, because it was this, I think a French archaeologist called it like one of the most important finds in Gaza or something. So just for me, bringing light to that was important.
No, yeah, for me, it's pretty much the same. I mean, one of the topics that I like to do is answer historical questions using open source intelligence. So just seeing all that history just getting destroyed, it really hurts my heart, even though I never finished my history degree. But it's something that I my cat is having you can see her in the background, she's being weird, I'm sorry. No, but it's really close to my heart. And then I think another motivation was also finding the reference material and then seeing how proud the soldiers are. Look, we destroyed this mosque. I don't get it personally, but finding the reference material together with what we could prove, that maybe isn't very, I mean, satisfying maybe isn't the right word to describe it, but it's what keeps me going.
Looking into the damage of cultural sites is not just something that's exclusive to Gaza either. As Michael Colburn in the chat mentioned, it was something that he was doing in Bosnia a few years ago, and saw similarities in terms of the destruction of mosques as well during kind of conflict. And somebody has asked in the chat actually whether there are any similarities or parallels with the destruction of cultural sites in Gaza with the destruction of cultural sites in Syria. I don't know if any of you can speak to that at all.
I mean, I covered a bit of the Syria conflict, and I think there probably are some parallels. It might take some more like digging and research. I mean, it's for me looking into the destruction in Gaza in general. The parallel for me is the destruction in a lot of like, especially in the neighborhoods close to Damascus that were controlled by rebels and opposition forces, like Douma and Ghouta, and how like Joe Barr is another one. And how if you look on, I mean, this is visible on Google Earth because it's old enough imagery anyways, you can see just entire neighborhoods have been wiped away. All the buildings have been demolished. And it's kind of it seems kind of punitive to me from the Assad government because they didn't want people to return to these like neighborhoods where people rebelled. I think it was also maybe some sort of safety corridor thing. I don't know. I forget what their official reasoning is for it, but in terms of that, I think there's like some very deliberate destruction. That kind of reminds me of what we're seeing in some parts of Gaza with like buffer zone stuff. In terms of cultural heritage sites, I mean, obviously with ISIS, we saw very deliberate destruction of some very historical sites like Palmyra and areas in Raqqa or elsewhere that they controlled where, you know, that was a pretty religious bent on their end in terms of the extremist bent that they were doing this. But I don't really know of any parallels for that in terms of Gaza. At least I haven't seen any like that. We actually did do, this is from 2 years ago, but we did another video on cultural heritage destruction in Ukraine. And we didn't actually rely on satellite imagery as much for that one. We relied on a lot of open source videos and stuff. And it was just looking at, I worked on this with Maxim Edwards, who's no longer at Bellingcat, but used to be. It was looking at like historical monastery, the Sviatohersk like monastery, which is a very, very famous old monastery near the front lines. And it actually was on the front lines for a while, but trying to determine damage to these sites and seeing this one, I think in terms of Easy Bake Oven's question as well, this one also had a little bit more of like a munition, looking into munitions because we want, it's like trying to determine like, okay, this airstrike hit this location, what fragments are visible that maybe give us an idea of what was used. And so there was near Zvatohirsk, there was like another old monastery church, and it was, you could see like remnants that kind of matched, like maybe perhaps it was like a caliber missile or something like that. So it was kind of like, oh, this is a Russian cruise missile that was shot here. It's guided. So it was guided to this location. So they purposely shot this. So it was kind of like trying to figure out a way to do that. I mean, you could do the same thing, I think, in Gaza. It's just a little bit harder because there's a lot less access. And so there's a lot less visuals coming out of it.
Yeah. And as Michael's just put in the chat, Maxim has a considerable interest in destruction of cultural heritage sites. Something that he's really passionate about, and yeah, helped on the Ukraine piece and the Bosnia piece as well. And some of the Gaza pieces before he left too, which is amazing. In the initial speech, Jake, you mentioned UNESCO is documenting some of this destruction. Is there any other sites or organizations that you want to shout out who are working on this kind of work that people should check out as resources?
EA MENA. It's actually it's a few universities in Britain. I think it's the University of Oxford leads it, but then there's some other universities involved as well. They have a database. I think you have to actually create an account with them, but I did, and I got access pretty easily. But it stands for Endangered Archaeology in the Middle East and North Africa, and their database has sites throughout all of the Middle East and North Africa of sites that, you know, archaeological sites. And so I think in Gaza itself, they have like 250 sites. So they have more than, you know, our list, of course. They have a lot of random stuff on that, which kind of like what I was talking about earlier with UNESCO and the houses, these like archaeological houses and stuff. Well, these historic houses and stuff. I think they have a lot of niche items in their database that are important to track, but are kind of hard to cover the damage of sometimes. Heritage for Peace, of course. We interviewed their I think the head of them is Bruce Sabrine. He was great, but they've done really good work on this. There are some other archaeological like watchdog sites that I can't think of off the top of my head, I think, but I can link them.
I would also just mention, away from Gaza itself, that there's a few universities actually really monitoring the damage of archaeological sites. So I know Bellingcat spoke to Cornell recently, who have a Caucasus Heritage Watch, which is a heritage monitoring forensic research kind of lab, and they've been looking at the Nagorno-Karabakh region and damage to archaeological sites there, as well as a couple of other areas as well. Definitely worth checking out if you're looking further afield than Gaza.
I think there's a lot of risk right now there currently, given the change of the occupation. I think it's really important to keep an eye on like historical Armenian sites there, because they might be getting damaged. I mean, we've already seen some of them get destroyed or damaged, so keep an eye on that. And that's something you can do with Sentinel imagery. Maybe not as easily, but if there's a site that you're curious about, and it's like a historic church, or maybe even like a, you know, some sort of area where there's an archaeological dig site, you could see if there's going to be, and Sentinel imagery would be good enough, even though it's a low resolution, to see if that site has been destroyed or disturbed in a visible way, like land being cleared. If it's an archaeological site, is notable because damaging possible archaeological finds. Or like if there was a building there and it was like a blurry little, you know, square, then suddenly it's just a big, like, it's all like paved or like it looks like cleared, then that gives you an idea that possibly that building was damaged.
It's also, like I said in the guide that I wrote, it's, you can train yourself to look at satellite images. Because I can remember messaging Pooja at some point, saying, oh my God, I the only thing I see is pixels. I'm not sure where a building starts and where it ends anymore, because like we keep staring at it. So one, take regular breaks. But I did a workshop the other day. We were looking at Google Earth, not the best footage. And I looked at the image and then right away I said, oh, but there's a mosque there. And they were looking at me like, how the hell did you see this fast that it was a mosque? Yeah, I don't know. My brain now, if I see a mosque, I go, there's a mosque, even in computer games. So no, you can really, it's a matter of training. Practice enough.
If somebody in this call wanted to continue on the work that Bellingcat and Script News have done, what would your advice be to them?
Well, specifically with Gaza, I mean, I think, similar to that Eunice thread that I shared in the comments, I mean, kind of listing, it wouldn't have to be on Twitter specifically, but on either on a Google Doc or on social media or somewhere, start building out a list of places that you're seeing like photos of, before and after photos of, that show that it's been damaged. You know, and if you're trying to, I mean, especially in areas that maybe the IDF are currently active in or where there's currently fighting, I mean, Rafah, Tal al-Sultan, and like the Saudi project area in southern Gaza, is there's been a lot of damage there. I've already seen an additional cemetery that's, I mean, if you look at it, there's, and this is where Google Earth actually is really helpful. You could see that in general, the graveyard itself, which is, this is over in Western or Eastern Rafah, closer to Tal al-Sultan, there's a cemetery that is just a little square. And the IDF has cleared, in SkySat imagery, IDF has cleared all around it. Although there's one like little extension where they just been bulldozed. It's been turned into like just sand. So it's, if Google Earth imagery showed that there were graves there. So I have to think that that cemetery has now been damaged, because this area where in high resolution Google Earth imagery, we can see that there were cemeteries or there were graves, it's now gone. But I would say is just start building out a list, and you can focus on a specific type of thing. So like, I have a list of cemeteries on Twitter that I've like try to add on to, but you could also do like museums or mosques would get be a very long list, or, you know, other archaeological sites. You could do tells, which, and tells might be easier with Sentinel imagery, which is freely available, because you could you could see changes on the top of the tell that maybe show that it's been disturbed. But then you can also be looking at the on the ground open source visuals from the IDF or from Palestinians who have, you know, are able to go back to certain areas.
Any further advice, Pooja or Anik, on kind of dealing with these sites and anything that you learned while kind of looking into some of the satellite imagery and the content online?
Yeah, like I said, if you use some of the methods that we had, Sentinel Hub, Google Earth Pro, and you get familiar with them. So my first step was checking the site, and then I went to Wikimapia to check if there was indeed a mosque or a museum. Then I went to social media to see, is it maybe a well-known place, or can I quickly find any reference material about it? And then, you have the footage in Sentinel Hub, other satellite services, where you can see, okay, when was it destroyed? But I think we're also discussing it in the chat a little bit, and we talked about it before. This is not unique to Gaza. If fingers crossed, if the Dutch decide to attack the Belgians today, then you're going to see the same happening in Belgium. So any big, we're not going to attack them. They have really good beer. So that's like the best, like a good reason not to invade a country. But you'll see it in any big conflict. It's I think trying to wipe out somebody's identity. We're not only going to take your home, we're also going to take your places of worship, we're going to take your language, we're going to take your complete identity. So don't get overwhelmed with all the sources, because like I said, you can train your brain how to look at satellite images. We wrote the guides. Everybody is here. We're also here. So if you have questions, you can ask them in the Discord, of course. There's still a lot of work that can be done in these cultural heritage sites. So good luck.
Yeah, I'll just add that, unfortunately, it's an ongoing conflict, and it's been a couple of months since we at least last did the documentation. So you can follow what's happening and if there's been changes in the area, you know, where violence has progressed, and try to go from there. Because there's so many mosques, and we, like Jake said, our list wasn't exhaustive. So unfortunately, there's still a lot, there must be still a lot of sites that we did not cover. And a good place to start from would be to see where the violence is happening right now, and look at how an area has been damaged, and yeah, if you can get a list of mosques in like we did, that was our starting point. We downloaded a KML file of all the mosques. So you can do that too and go to a specific, start small, go to like a specific area and then see the kind of damage that area has experienced.
Some very wise words from all of the researchers here. And obviously with any open source research, we're not looking for the reasoning or coming to any conclusions about intentions to do with the destruction. What we're doing is noting the damage and the location of that destruction, the time of that destruction. And it's up to other experts to kind of determine why. It's just important that we use our skill sets to document this kind of thing, particularly as it has huge implications, not only for our history, not only for our cultural understanding, but also for people who are from that area as well. Sarah helpfully said, I like to use stuff like TripAdvisor or other vacation tourism sites to find local landmarks. And that's where I'd start to see changes in cultural heritage sites too, which I thought was a really amazing tip. Thank you so much, Jake, Pooja, Anik, for joining today. And thanks so much to everybody in the audience. All of the links that we discussed today will be in the description of the podcast, but you can also grab them in the chat right now. And this episode will be up on SoundCloud and on all podcast providers, hopefully before next week. Please do listen back. And if you have any questions, we're here in the Discord server at all times. Please reach out. And if you've enjoyed the idea of getting involved in these kinds of investigations, or if you want to kind of learn more, we have lots of channels, not only dedicated to the Israel-Gaza conflict in the Discord server. In fact, we actually have a geolocation ongoing at the moment for some of the Hamas leaders. But you can also check out open source leads, hashtag open source leads, where you can have a look at and see if anybody's had any ideas for projects. That's where people pitch ideas for projects and you can get involved and try to help there too. So please do collaborate with each other in here on this kind of research, and we're here to help. Thanks again, Jake, Anik, and Pooja, and I'll see you all in 2 weeks' time for the next Stage Talk. Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Stage Talk. If you'd like to catch a Stage Talk live where you can ask the guest questions, join the Bellingcat Discord server by visiting www.discord.gg/Bellingcat. The music you've heard is titled Dawn by Newer Self and is courtesy of Artlist.